This is a Tadad podcast.
Welcome to the Tadad podcast. I'm Claudia Salgado. For over a month now, the world has been turned upside down. Many are self-isolating at home while medical doctors, hospital workers, grocery store personnel, and others are working hard at the front lines. Masks are the new normal and so are empty streets. The COVID-19 pandemic has caused a ripple effect on the economy and on the way we work. And in many instances, the employment situation is grim. How is the Fiscal Affairs Department dealing with the situation? How are we working together without being together? And most importantly, are we still able to help those who need our assistance? These and more questions will be answered in this first episode of the Tadad Podcast special series on COVID-19. This episode was recorded on April 10th, 2020, and is coming to you from our homes in Washington, D.C. Today's guest is Mr. Vitor Gaspar, Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department, and our moderator is Mr. Michael Keane, Deputy Director of the Fiscal Affairs Department. Thank you both for being here. Now that introductions have been made, over to you, Mick.
Thank you, Claudia, and thank you and hello, Vitor. Vitor, it's a difficult and busy times for everyone. Certainly, we at the fund have been adjusting to a rather new world and taking on new challenges. What's your take on how life is going at the fund and how we're coping and dealing with all the many issues that we're being confronted with?
It's a very interesting times. We are facing crises like no other. It is a health emergency. It's a pandemic that one faces once in a century in the context of the obligations of the IMF. We do see a lot of interest from countries in our financing facilities, in particular our rapid financing facilities. A record number of 90 countries have inquired or applied for those facilities. But it's also true that our membership looks to the fund for policy advice and for analysis, which is relevant for this situation. So we face a demand for international cooperation and coordination in the economic and financial area, which is probably without precedent. At the same time, we are in a situation where, because of social distancing, we're working from home. And that basically means that we work in a different environment, and all tasks that involve interaction among us can still be conducted, but they take longer. So it's definitely interesting times, Mick.
They certainly are. That's an understatement. But I wonder, before asking you a bit more about some of the substance, do you have any kind of lessons that you think we've learned from the way we're working? As you say, we're working from home now, and I guess many tax administrations are or will be in a similar position. Are there things you think that we've done well, or things that we have? Are there any kind of mistakes that we can suggest others avoid, and just in how we've managed to work amongst ourselves?
What has surprised me is how much we can actually do from home. Probably, if I were to single out one example, where I was surprised is how much we're able to continue our engagement with our membership, how much it was possible to help countries with support and advice, despite the fact that meeting and traveling are not possible. And so we were able to have a continuity in our business, including capacity development, to an extent that surprised me. To me, clearly, we are going to change our habits, our ways of interacting, and that is going to shape very much how we're going to be conducting our business in normal times after the epidemic is passed. If I were to think that there is something that we have not been doing enough of, is precisely embracing fast enough that we are in a transformational stage and that we can actually use part of what we learned from the crisis as a springboard for the transformation that we'll have to make in our way of working and providing services to our membership in a permanent way going forward.
Thank you. It's going to be an interesting and different world, I think, for us all when we emerge from this. Maybe turning a little bit, you mentioned, of course, our our existence is here to serve our members. And I was wondering what kind of, I know you're in very close touch with many of them, I was wondering what kind of reactions you're seeing in our members to the crisis, particularly, I guess, in terms of tax policy administration. But are there kind of, are there some recurrent issues that you see emerging from our interaction with our members, things that we need to really focus on if we're to serve them well?
There are many, but I will want to single out two that I believe are particularly important. One aspect is that we are in a situation of emergency. So clearly, policymakers want to support people. They want, in a sense, to be able to defeat this epidemic as fast as possible with a minimum damage to people and to the economic structure. That leads to a situation where, from time to time, we hear the expression, we'll do whatever it takes. And that is fine. That gives us a very strong commitment to action. And in an emergency like the one we're living in, the risk is much more to do too little than to do too much. So that's the right prejudice to have. But at the same time, whatever it takes should be done right. And there are many questions about how to design policies, how to design these support mechanisms, how to design these emergency lifelines. Details matter a lot. One aspect which is particularly important for us in FAD is that one should be completely open to do whatever it takes, but one should make sure that one keeps the receipts. That is, in other words, that whatever it takes is compatible with transparent accounting, timely disclosure of information, strong governance, and systematic ex post evaluation. That's point number one. Point number two is that when we support, in particular, firms in the process of the crisis, when we support firms that would otherwise be viable, what we want, in a sense, is to retain the muscle, the sinews that have to be in place for the economy to jump up when finally the epidemic is something of the past. But the same applies to public administration in general and to tax administration in particular. It's absolutely crucial to retain the characteristics of the tax system and the human capital of tax administration, which is necessary for the tax system to be in a position to jump into action when we are in the post-epidemic stage, and it will be crucial to mobilize revenues to enable the public administration.
It's a difficult thing to pull off, right? Because, for example, tax administrations that are going to be working under very difficult circumstances to try to come out the other end still with a good handle on compliance and not having gone blind during the crisis. It's a difficult act, but an important one, I think, that we have to try and help our members pull off.
Absolutely. And business continuity practices are very important, but it's also very important that one does not make policy mistakes that would create lasting loopholes in the tax system.
The medical do no harm motto also comes to mind, I guess, when we think about
absolutely.
This. Which is perhaps also a good moment for me to mention the notes that FAD is beginning to publish on our website to try and provide guidance on these issues. I don't know if you'd like to say anything about those and how we see them.
Absolutely. So one of the ambitions of these notes, and that's a process that you, Meek, have very much helped bring to fruition, is to make available to our membership in a convenient form, information analysis, which may be of use to them in this current crisis. For example, one of the notes is about how to manage public finance risks in emergency situation, which is something that resonates in the current situation. We have notes on how to preserve capacity in tax administration. Precisely. And so the idea of these notes is to be very concrete, very focused, in a sense, to give a guide to our membership about how to do it and give some examples of best practices that we collect around the world.
Thanks very much. Yes, and we certainly hope that these will prove helpful and get a suitably wide audience.
Absolutely.
Maybe, just to say, maybe pursue a little bit the issues of capacity development, because as you're always reminding us, I think 80% of what we do in fiscal affairs is capacity development and supporting members. And that's obviously a particularly difficult thing to do at the moment. And I think we're all figuring out how best to proceed on this. But what's your kind of experience so far as how we managed to keep capacity development work and I guess engagement with countries more generally going and being helpful in this time?
So one of the aspects that did surprise me is how much continuity it was possible to maintain in capacity development work. Divisions in the various areas, the tax administration, tax policy, expenditure policy, public financial management, have been able to keep engagement with countries and have continued to deliver capacity development missions remotely. And that is truly a revolution and is something that I was sure was possible, but I was completely surprised by the scale at which that was possible. Going forward, I think there is something which I find as big opportunity for countries around the world, and it is that since we're being forced by this crisis to change behavior and to use a number of forms of interaction in a way that we were already adopting, albeit slowly, one of the possible consequences of the crisis would be quite a sharp pace up of transformation in the direction of sustainable and inclusive growth. You can think about the importance of public infrastructure, the importance of a green growth, the importance of digitalization, and much else. And so the opportunities and the benefits from capacity development are likely to be significantly greater after the epidemic than before.
Well, thank you. That's a terrific and a nice optimistic point to perhaps end up our conversation on this in these difficult times. But perhaps are there any other issues on your mind that you would like to take the opportunity to share with our listeners?
I would think there are too many. So we have a situation which is surrounded by a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Our knowledge about what is likely to happen is limited. But one of the few things that we have as an anchor is that epidemics eventually pass and a post-period epidemic will come. And many times, to reinforce the point that I was making a moment ago, these periods are periods of fast transformation, and sometimes they're recorded in history as periods of accelerated progress.
Well, thank you so much. That's a wonderful note to finish on. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks, me. Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you all for being here and for taking a bit of your time. Thank you for listening to the TADOT podcast. In our next episode, we will discuss tax policy and revenue administration responses to COVID-19. For more information on today's episode, you can access the IMF notes on fiscal issues by visiting the IMF website, www.imf.org. Stay safe, everyone.
The TADOT podcast is available free of charge. The views expressed in the TADOT podcast are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent those of the International Monetary Fund or the IMF policy. Materials from the podcast may be reproduced with proper attribution. Comments and correspondence may be addressed to The Producers, TADOT Podcast, IMF, Room HQ206-362, Washington, D.C., 20431, USA, or email to podcast@tadot.org. TADOT is a collaborative effort of the following partners: the European Union, France, Germany, the International Monetary Fund, Japan, the Netherlands, Norway, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and the World Bank.